Okay, a number of years ago, I decided to give a shiur on the first night of Sukkot about the 10 biggest Sukkot misconceptions that people have. And I sent it to my brother in advance to see if there were any other misconceptions that I was missing. And on my list of Sukkot misconceptions is that when you're in the Sukkah and there is a bee in the Sukkah, that you're not allowed to trap it under your cup. That was a Sukkah misconception. My brother sent back to me, why is that a misconception? That is absolutely correct. You are not allowed to trap it under a cup. So we got into a little bit of a debate as to whether or not you're allowed to trap a bee in the Sukkah. So just yesterday, someone texted me and said it would be a really great idea to give a 10-minute halacha shiur on whether you're allowed to trap bees in the Sukkah, especially when Sukkah falls out so early, so it's more likely to still be bee season, and warm enough to attract the bees. So let's discuss a little bit about that. So obviously the malacha in question over here is the malacha of tseda, of trapping, which was done in the Mishkan because they required animal hides in the Mishkan to make the coverings of the Mishkan, and in order to get a hold of the kind of animal that they needed, like a ram, you had to do some sort of trapping because they're not always so agreeable to being taken and slaughtered. So confining a living creature is a violation of the malacha of tzad. In order to violate seda on a da'oraisa level, it has to be that the animal prior to your catching it was free to move about and was not restricted, and your action of catching it causes it to be restricted. That is tseda mida oraisa. Midrabanan, it's asur to trap an animal even if you don't intend to use the animal. So on a daraisa level, it's only a nisr of tseda. Well, two things. On a daraisa level, it's only a nisr of tseda when yesh b'mino nitzod, when it's the kind of animal that people would trap. But if it's ein b'mino nitzod, it's the kind of animal that no one would trap because they want it, no one would ever trap such an animal, so then it would not be tseda on a daraisa level. And then there's another element over here, and that is the general concept of melach shein shrich l'gufa. Why did they trap an animal in the Mishkan? Because they wanted the animal. They wanted it. They needed it. Why do we trap the bee? Not because we want the bee. It's because we want the bee away from us. We're not interested in it. So that's what we call a melach shein shrich l'gufa. Typically speaking, a melach shein shrich l'gufa is potter. Aser midrabanan, but not chayiv mida oraisa. So on that level, it's important to just understand a little bit of the background of the melacha of tzeda. Also, it bears mentioning that when you're dealing with a very slow creature, a snail, a caterpillar, something like that, those creatures are considered to be inherently caught. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins Simin Shinta Zayin Si'if Beis, and therefore the Malach of Tzeda does not apply to them, and if you further restrict their movement beyond where they're already restricted, it would not be a violation of Tzeda. Now, you do have to still think to yourself, it may be a violation of other things. It might be a violation, like, why are you catching a caterpillar? What are you using? You're using it for school show and tell tomorrow? Well, that might be hachana. You're messing around with a caterpillar, you're holding it, you're touching it, that might be muktza, right? The animal might be muktza. So there might be other issues, but from a tzeda perspective, in fact, this is one of the big discussions when it comes to tcheles, that the Gemara says that someone who's tzad chilazon is chayiv. When you trap a chilazon, you're chayiv mishum tzeda. So one of the rayas that they bring against the tcheles that some of us use is that the tcheles some of us use comes from a snail. The chilazon that we use is a snail, because in every Semitic language, the word chilazon means snail. And Rashi writes that chilazon is a snail. And we have a lot of rayas that chilazon means a snail. But if a snail could barely move, so why would it be a violation of tzeda? You can give the keys back whenever you want. Why would it be a violation of tzeda to trap the snail? So that another idea comes into play. The Gemara Maseches Beitzah says, the way Rashi understands it at least, is that whenever it requires tachbulos in order to trap something, meaning why is it that trapping a snail typically is not a violation of tzeda? Because it doesn't involve trapping, you just pick it up, right? Planning involved. There's no real serious thought process. It's right there. You just pick it up. It's not going anywhere. But when it comes to trapping snails that are on the bottom of the sea, it requires takwulos, it requires thinking, and how am I going to get the nets down, and how am I going to go to scuba diving, and this, and that. That would still be a violation of the malacha of tseda. So even though typically the Gemara defines tseda as something that you cannot catch in a single lunge, and a snail you certainly can catch in a single lunge, when it takes takbulos, when it takes, you know, some thinking and some running after, and so that would be a violation of tseda. So when you translate that over to a bee, you were certainly constricting a bee when you put it in a cup. It was free to move around beforehand, and it's not always so easy, right? People miss all the time. Very often it takes more than one lunge, and then, oh no, now he's getting angry, right? That's what they always tell you. I don't know if bees have anger issues or not, but they certainly feel threatened. But, you know, it would seem to certainly be subject, at least, to the malacha of tzeda. So why in the world would I even have a havamina that would be mutter? You know, Rabbi Ribiyad in his sefer points out, you know, that there are three levels of tzeda. There are animals that are not confined at all, that can move around wherever they want. There are animals that are in some sort of loose confinement. Its movement is restricted, but it can't be grabbed yet without being chased a little bit. Let's say I have an animal in my house, so it can't get out of the house, but it doesn't necessarily mean I can catch it right away. I'm still going to have to move around. And then there's an animal in a very, very narrow confinement where it's just very easy to pick it up and to take it, like the bee that's already in the cup. To take it from any level from level 1 to level 2, or from level 2 to level 3, is a violation of the malacha of tzeda. So if a bird flies into my house and I close the window in order to keep it there, which is not what you're supposed to do, I think you're supposed to open the window to let it get out, but if you close the window in order to keep it there, since that will restrict its movement, even though you still can't catch it in a single lunge, even in your house, that would be a violation of the malacha of tzeda. And therefore a bee would also seem to be a violation of the malacha of tzeda. So again, where does any heter come from? So here's where it comes from. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Vav Amud Beis tells us, Hatsad Parosh B'Shabbos Pater. If someone catches, traps a mosquito, let's say, on Shabbos, he's pater. So Tosla says that if it's biting a person, you're allowed to take it off of you, and the reason that it's mutter, it's not just pater of lasser, it's mutter to take it off of you if it's about to bite you, mishum tsar shari, because of the tsar that it's going to cause you when it bites you, it's mutter. So it sounds from Tosfos that only when it's mamish in the act of biting you. You ever have that moment where you see the mosquito on your arm and you're like, you know, better act quick because in another second and he's gonna get you. So that you're allowed to remove him right away. You're allowed to trap him when he's directly on your arm. The Rush writes, it's a little bit of a different reason to be matir with the parosh. He says, "Aval imu al besoro v'noshcho mutr likachenu lashlicho me'aleinu de'eino kimischavein latzodo ela kimisasek shlo yishchenu." The Rush seems to say that this is even better than a malach shein tzrich l'gufa, you know, whereas Tosfos seems to assume, why am I allowed to catch the mosquito? Because it's a malach shein tzrich l'gufa, which is only asumid rabbanan, and b'makom tzar, the rabbanan never goes there. The Rush seems to assume, not that way, the Rush seems to assume it's even better than a malach shein tzrich l'gufa. It's like a misasek, it's like you're not doing anything. It requires explanation why it should be exactly like a misasek, but nevertheless, that's the understanding of the Rush. It seems that in Shulchan Aruch we paskin like Tosos. Beis Yosef discusses this, and the Mechaber in Siftes over there seems to paskin that like Tosos says that you're not allowed to trap a parosh ele im kein hu al bisaro v'okto, only if it's on you and it's about to bite you. So the Shulchan Aruch clearly follows Tosos. The question becomes that the Gemara says that a tzad nachash is totally mutter even if he's not about to bite you, even if he's not directly on you and biting you. So why would a tzad nachash, why would trapping a snake be any different? So the Bir Halacha explains that there's a difference between a snake and a mosquito. Well, intuitively, difference between a snake and a mosquito, what's the difference? The snake is going to cause you a lot of pain. A mosquito will be a mosquito bite. You know, big deal. You'll get over it. So when it comes to a mosquito, says the Bir Halacha, when it's on your skin, that's when you're allowed to trap it. But any threat that's less than that, if it's just buzzing around the sukkah or something, you're not allowed to trap it. When it comes to a snake, even if it's just slithering around the sukkah, and I'm not talking about a poisonous snake that's going to kill you. If it's going to kill you, pikoach nefesh, then all bets are off. We're talking about a snake that's going to hurt you. It's going to damage you, but it's not going to kill you. Then you're allowed to trap it, even when it's not directly on you. So herein lies the machlokas between me and my brother, and between Sirius Poskim also. But the my brother is Sirius Poskim, but I'm saying between. So herein lies the machlokas. What is a bee? Is a bee a snake, or is a bee a mosquito? Right? Meaning that's what. So my impression was that the difference between a mosquito and a snake is that a snake causes you pain. A mosquito causes you a nuisance. It's tsar in a nuisance level. And therefore, a bee is much more like a snake in that it causes you actual pain. But I wouldn't rely on that svara alone. Rabbi Ribiat in his Sefer 39 Melachos and Rabbi Simcha Ben Kohn, both of the popular English svarim that talk about Hilchos Shabbos, are both makel on the shaila. They both allow trapping a bee. But my brother wanted to argue that, yeah, but Rabbi Ribiat might have once in his life been stung by a yellow jacket. Unlikely he's ever been bitten by a snake. You know, those are very different levels of tsar. Okay, I hear you could certainly make that distinction, but I would think that, my brother wanted to say, Adrava, and Yantif, the better thing to do is to kill the bee. Because mitoch shurutzul tzorach shchita yisutzul tzorach ochel nefesh, so hutar shalol tzorach. I said no, not better to kill the bee because no one's going to distinguish between Shabbos and Yantiv, and every sukkah has a Shabbos in it also. So if they're killing the bees on Yantiv, they're going to kill the bees on Shabbos, and there is no heter mitoch on Shabbos. So I thought much better to rely on that svara and catch the bee rather than to kill the bees. So.